Alright, troopers, get your DC-15 blasters and slap on your buckets. It's time for custom action figure news with Lucas Clones and Tamer. Now blast those clankers! Go, go, go!
Oh, give it everything you got! Make every shot count! This is gonna be a tough one, I doubt we'll make it through!
And welcome, folks, to another episode of Custom Action Figure News. My name is Lucas Clones, also known as Chad, and with me, as always, is Tamer, also known as Sean. How you doing tonight?
Pretty good. Hello, everybody.
All right. And along with us tonight are two very special guests. Our first guest is Jen from WookieLover1138. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. And our other guest is Nate from Kessel Run Imports. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Awesome, awesome. And of course, those of you that are listening may or may not know, Nate and Jen form the dynamic duo that is the Kessel Run Review. And we have them on tonight because we want to talk to them about their awesome show and kind of get a little bit of the behind-the-scenes action on that. And we're going to get to that in just a few moments. But of course, before we begin, we have our usual segment with Sean, and he likes to go with a few announcements, and I know that he has a few. So I'm going to throw it over to you, Sean.
All right. Thanks, Chad. I guess before I forget, I need to make sure we wish Nate a happy birthday. Is your birthday actually today, Nate?
It's actually tomorrow.
All right. Well, happy birthday.
Thanks.
All right. Okay, my announcements. I'll try to keep them short and sweet because I know you're here to listen to WookieLover1138 and Kessel Run Imports. My first announcement is the first package is away for the Imperial Shipyards charity auction for Mike Martinez. It was nice for us to be able to actually make our second donation to Holly and family today. I just wanted to do a brief shout out for that we are still continuing auctions, as well as if you want to donate directly, there is a PayPal address. If you just hit the front page of imperialshipyards.net, in the left column you'll see a little charity auctions button, has a little blue new tab on it. If you click that, it'll bring you into the charity auctions thread. And the very top thread in that, the forum should be the charity auction for Mike Martinez. Some of you may already know Mike Martinez was our last podcaster who, died in a horrible tragic car accident, was hit, head-on by a drunk driver, leaving behind, a fiancé and two kids, and we're trying to help his fiancé Holly out. So if you can donate for that, if you want to bid on one of the items, and matter of fact, up next is Chad's rocket firing Boba Fett, still in the double mailer. And after that, speaking of Nate and Jen, they donated a autographed copy of the Kessel Run Review. And if you don't know what the Kessel Run Review is, trust me, you will by the end of this podcast. And I wanted to thank both of you guys for donating things for the auctions. And, we're trying to get Holly some funds. She's going to need them. So that's the first announcement. And the next announcement, on a kind of a great note, I was able to talk with a T-shirt supplier. Some of you may have seen my last YouTube video. Yes, I actually did one. Of course, it's nowhere near the quality of, Nate and Jen's Kessel Run Review videos. Gee whiz, they set the bar very high. But anyway, that T-shirt design was in the background of that video. I was surprised by the amount of emails and PMs and Facebook messages for folks saying, how can I get my hands on a T-shirt? Well, there is a thread in the forums. It's under Imperial Announcements, somewhere in that section. I have until Monday. They gave me a special price where I order them. It's $20.97. If you want an Imperial Shipyards T-shirt, you can find all the pertinent information there. You can PayPal me the funds. And right now, I'm worried about is getting your size and what you want. And then I'm planning on placing the order by Monday at 9 a.m. So if you want one, I need to have your funds by then. I'll place the order, and as soon as I get the shirts in, of course, then I'll ship them and send you your shipping price. But, of course, for anyone who knows me, knows I'm not out to make a dollar on the shipping, folks. I'll send it to you for my actual cost. But if you want an Imperial Shipyards t-shirt, now's your chance to get one. Okay, Chad, I'm done.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and move right on into the interview portion of the show. So I'm going to start it off, Sean, if that's all right with you.
That's fine.
And then Nate and Jen, what we like to do is we kind of switch questions. So I was and by the way, I'll have you guys know I had planned to write some questions myself for you. But once I got Sean's messages via email, I saw that pretty much everything that I was going to ask you, he had already thought of, and I can't say that I was surprised. So with that, we're going to go ahead, and our first question is, and actually this was the very first question that I had thought of myself, was what got you started doing YouTube videos? Was there any other YouTuber or videographer out there that inspired you?
Well, one day, Nate was watching a review by Clonehead, and he had showed it to me, and I watched it, and I just, like, really wanted to do it. And I was like, I want to do this, but I wanted to put a different spin on it. And so after playing around with the idea for a little bit, we just made episode one.
Oh, wow. All right. Very good. So you were inspired by the Clonehead. That's very interesting. All right. Okay. Well, that was Nate, did you have anything you wanted to say about that?
Well, I mean, that pretty much is the introduction to how that came to be. And then, you know, episode one is very different than what we ended up doing, what it, you know, grew into. So, you know, from looking at that, it's kind of a, you know, we were just fooling around with the technique at that point, and it grew into something else that we didn't really see coming. But the cool thing about it is we kind of feel like we were doing something that wasn't really out there at that point, you know? It's kind of a new thing.
Oh yeah, very good. And I want to know, when she said that to you, when she turned to you and said, I want to do this, what was your reaction? What'd you say to her?
Well, I mean, that's awesome. You know, your girl comes up and says, hey, let's play Star Wars, basically, you know?
Yes. Definitely. I know that, you know, I started doing my own YouTube reviews the same reason I was watching everybody else have such a great time. And I said, oh, I can do that. And, you know, started to do my own. All right, Sean, your turn. You have the next question.
All right. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I want to say Clonehead got me started. I can remember Clint always did such good written reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, Clint, you just ought to get yourself a webcam or something, you know, and do your own video reviews. Nah, I don't want to do that. But I'm telling you, I agree with you guys. He started doing some of those YouTube videos, and man, Clonehead's just a good guy all around.
I agree.
And you know, I'm sure she didn't know anything about who, you know, Clonehead was at the time, and it's funny because I was just, you know, that just happened to be the one I was watching when she saw him. And later, it was definitely like Clonehead, the first person she ended up talking to when she started checking out the yards and becoming active over there and stuff. I remember as, you know, first introduction, she was like, oh, this guy Clonehead, he's all talking to me. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he is.
Strange coincidence.
Yeah. All right.
Back what video it was that you're like, what was that one that you were watching
it was Clonehead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You happen to remember what particular figure he was reviewing or
It was an ATTE.
Oh,
yeah.
You believe. Maybe we're mistaken and confused, but I'm pretty positive it was him doing an ATTE and it was down on the ground in the grass, you know, but okay.
That sounds like Clint. I believe I remember that when he started whining about the legs even before we knew the first ones fell off. Yeah, it's Clint. Okay, guys, what I want to know is I want to know what a typical week looks like for the Castle Run Review. I mean, what you guys basically do, I know, can't be pulled off in one day. There's no way. So, I mean, do you guys have a specific schedule that you stick to? And if you do, can you kind of walk me through that for the week? Because I know you put your episode normally up Friday night, right?
That's usually what we shoot for. We originally started as like a Saturday thing, and that may be changing because of some of the things in our situation are changing around. We might be looking at a new night, but yeah, it's
usually like on Saturdays or Sundays. Like this is Saturday or Sunday starts the week, and I decide out of the giant list of customs I have for the show who's going to be on the show this week, and then like Sunday or Monday, you know, I might get approval. I'll usually get the approval emails back, and I'll start writing. And then on around Thursday, we'll shoot voiceovers or record voiceovers, and Friday we shoot it. It's about a week.
But it's a pretty loose process, you know. We just do a little here, a little there, since really, you know, it's just for fun. So.
Yeah.
And you enjoy some pizza while you're doing it too.
Oh, exactly.
Right. I always think about you guys when I, because Friday nights, I don't know if I told you guys this or not, but I deliver pizzas on Friday nights, and that's how I actually make my action figure money. And I always think, oh man, well, you know, I'm out here delivering pizzas to buy action figures, and Jen and Nate are at home eating pizza and reviewing action figures. So there's
weird, totally. Well,
synchronicity growing on there.
Totally, because I don't like to cook on Fridays because it doesn't work out well with the shooting schedule.
Oh yeah, I can definitely see that.
Friday's pizza night.
All right, is it my turn, Sean?
Yeah, pizza's good any night, Chad.
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, I agree with you. My favorite is when my wife makes it on the grill, but we don't want to get off topic here.
All right, let's get back to the Kessel Run Review.
Oh yeah, so then to you know, just give a definitive answer to that time that spent question.
Mm-hmm.
In all truth, if it was, you know, more of a 9-to-5 type situation where we just were going to sit down and knock these episodes out, it would be less than a day's work for us. So we really can move quickly on these, but I think it's just because we've gotten quite a streamlined process, you know.
Well, I think maybe you ought to be in charge of the new live action TV show then, Nate.
I agree with you, Tamer.
Hear that, George? One day.
Well, you know, that's under the Castle Run Review's not a business, though. So, you know.
Yeah, he gets paid to do that.
Put together here and there and during the week, and you know.
But if anybody wants to make it a business, they're more. I'm more than willing to talk to them and make negotiations.
Oh, hey, you never know who's listening. They might be. So
there you go, George. And Nate does his own special effects.
He does great special effects.
All right, Chad, I hogged it. Back to you, bud.
Okay, all right. And I have to say, on the last note on the special effects, one of my favorite episodes was the one where you were on the bridge of the Separatist frigate. I thought that was really cool, how he was able to put you there. Okay. Speaking of that, that's a kind of a good segue for the next question, because the next question is about effects, and you guys have developed quite a bit of different effects into your weekly videos, and you know, there's sort of a mesh there. We have toy reviews, we have customizers, and in each one of those, there's some type of a effect, whether it be green screen or audio effect. And so what we want to know is, can you share any tips or tricks or anything that you'd like to share with, like, you know, other people on YouTube on how you, you know, get those effects?
Sure. You know, the thing is, I do all my work on a Mac, so I'm not, my information is not going to be very helpful to a lot of people that are on PCs, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Maybe I keep the answer to this pretty short and sweet, you know? But for the Kessel Run Review, basically put together with the iMovie program that comes with the Mac, so it's a simple thing. It even includes a green screen capability, which, you know, I have my, I wish worked a little better. You know, I would like to use a more professional program to do those types of things, but we don't have that at this time, so we just use what we have. And
looks pretty good, Nate.
Well, thanks. You know, but, you know, when you, anybody that makes these kind of things, I think, always is like, I want it to be better, right?
Of course. Definitely.
Anybody creative always looks at their work and says, oh, I could have done this, or I wish I would have done that.
The audio effects in it are the same way. They're generated by a program, comes on the Mac called GarageBand, and I, you know, just do different warping effects on voiceovers that we record, like changing the pitch and, you know, simple things like that, adding chorus and reverb and distortion thing. You know, it's actually a pretty simple bag of tricks as far as the audio. And the more complex things that are in there that you can't find ways to do with simple programs, there's some flash and things used to build, like sometimes the commercials and the, you know, the little logo, you know, names are built like hot off the Falcon or whatever, the little section headers.
Right. Yeah,
used flash to build all those things. But, you know, again, really just kind of a what was available that would work. So,
yeah, I've been wishing for the past 2 or 3 months that I had a Mac, because I know that the Mac that has a lot of programs on there that make it a lot easier for podcasting too. And one of those programs is the GarageBand program we were talking about. Most podcasters use that to edit their podcast, and it's not available on PC. So. Oh, well.
It's an awesome program. It's an incredible audio program. It is kind of amazing that they just give it to you with the computer. But
yeah,
because it's nice. I haven't run into anything I needed to do that I couldn't get it to do so far. But I don't, you know, the extent of my audio recording only goes that far. So what we use on the show.
All right. Excellent. Well, Sean, I believe it's your turn.
All right. Well. He's talking about his skill with audio. I was like, oh, yeah, I wish I had half of that skill. So, yeah, just to sum it up, if we want to do what you do, guys, we need a Mac, and we need iMovie, and we need this, what's it called, GarageBand? Or?
Well, all those things come on a Mac.
Yeah, they're installed on it. Mac
if you get one. But
and a camera and lighting.
Yeah, well, you know, for our show, we use the simplest of cameras. We have... Where is that thing? What is it?
Oh, it's over here. I was taking pictures.
You know, and we just use a regular camera that does have, obviously, Canon video capability. But it's a simple, you know, it
Canon
doesn't record.
Canon PowerShot SX100.
Yeah, so it's just a 10X. Or, I mean, what is it?
10 no, megapixels?
Eight megapixel. It's an 8 megapixel camera. I mean, this is just something that we've had for a long time. Just started, you know. Back to using what we have.
Well, I'm telling you, you guys don't make it sound like it's a very hard setup as far as the hardware and software that you need.
Lighting is key, and that can be pretty tricky, you know. Mm-hmm. I just keep playing with it till it looks good, but I mean, surely that's one of the main elements.
Hey, Nate, I got a question about your green screen.
Okay.
You said you use a green screen. Now, do you actually have a green screen in your house, or?
Yeah. Yep.
We just have a sheet hanging on a wall in one part of the same room where we always shoot. That's actually covering the closet, you know, in the same room where all them toys are that you see on the other episodes when we don't do green screen.
A she cave.
Yeah.
The she cave. There's a new term for us, Sean.
I'm not going there yet, Chad. That's awesome. Hey, is it my turn yet, Chad?
It's still your turn, bud. We never got to your question.
Hey, you finally took my... okay. You turned the tables on me.
I stole your strategy there. Just, you know, freight train, take it away.
Yeah, like me. Hog the cast. Okay. Anyway... I want to talk about your video commercials, because I find them absolutely phenomenal, and I hate to make you do this, but can I ask both of you, first off, what your favorite one was?
Mine would probably have to be every woman loves a man who has Nadarveb.
Yeah.
What about you?
Nadarveb is a classic one.
Yeah.
Because it started off, you know, and it was Jen's idea to do commercials from the very first one. They had that Cantina commercial. But I don't know. I think the Bigfoot one. The Bigfoot one is just hilarious.
Well, that one's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked your last one, too, with that Sulfur Springs and then the Tauntaun bath. That was pretty hilarious.
That was Jen.
Well, thank you. I wrote that one.
Yeah, that was an awesome episode. I'm already hankering for Kessel Run Review Season 2.
Awesome.
I'm going to have that. That was an awesome episode. Of course, folks, if you haven't seen that, you need to check out their YouTube channel and hit their latest episode. I want to say, was it episode 18, guys?
Yep.
Yeah, it was just awesome. All right. Okay, my next question was how you do the voices, but you talked a little bit about that. You just do the GarageBand. Whose voice is it? Is it yours or Nate's?
Well, we both do the voiceovers. It just depends on who sounds more appropriate for the role.
Okay. I wondered about that.
Yeah, we just like, sometimes, like, if we can't decide, we'll both do it, and then we'll pick the one that sounds better.
Mm-hmm.
Who did Darth Sidious? That's what I want to know.
Oh, that's me.
I thought so.
Do it.
Everything that has transpired has done so according to my design.
That's perfect. You don't even need.
I was gonna say he didn't need to change that much, did he?
Your faith in your friends is yours.
That's excellent. I do a pretty mean Palpatine impression myself. He's one of my favorite voices to do, but it's easy to do because it's so over the top.
Go for it.
Oh, no. I'm not going to steal Nate's thunder. I'll do it some other time.
Yeah, you get Chad started. He won't stop, guys.
There's so many we can't do, you know. I'm infinitely disappointed with our ability to pull off a stormtrooper and or a clone, you know, for that matter.
You're good looking.
I put a bunch of different effects on those and just kept trying different things.
You just got to get one of those microphones that they wear with the little speaker. The 501st guys, they have that, like a little headset inside their helmet, and they have a speaker somewhere on them, and they actually sound like a stormtrooper when they speak.
Yeah, I've seen that would be helpful. On some of the websites. They sell them with the armor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that.
It'd be cool to have, but there's a lot of voices, you know, that I'll just avoid doing, like Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
And back when I did the Aperture's Eye comic, I had total ideas about doing voices and making it all voiced as well. And it was when I was trying to do some sample tracks of trying to lay down a Yoda that I just gave up. It was just too embarrassing. It was ridiculous.
Now that you speak about Aperture's Eye, and I want to get into that, but I was wondering because, you know, you guys do such great audio with your, you know, tube videos. I wondered what the reason was why you didn't add, not that I had any problem with the text style that you use, but I wondered about that.
Yeah, I had considered it, but of course, also at that time, we had absolutely no idea that there'd ever be the Kessel Run Review, so.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't experimented with as many things either. I think I had like figured out how to do a pretty good battle droid, and I was thinking this might work. And then I tried Yoda, and I was like, no. And I tried it again, and I was like, no.
Well, oh man, battle droids are easy. All you got to do is pinch your nose and start talking.
Right. Yeah, you know, some of the simpler ones, exactly. And then there's just some that if you don't hit them right. Yeah, it's just going to be goofy. But sometimes that works, so we can, like, pull it off, you know. Like, there was one time when we were trying to do Yoda for the show, and we had a whole line of dialogue for him, and we kept cutting it down because it was so hard to do, until finally he just goes,
Doesn't sound like a bad Yoda to me.
Did you remember when he was asked on the one commercial, the How Smart is the Galaxy? They're like, what species are you? He's just like,
Yeah.
Huh. They still haven't named that species either, have they?
Right, exactly. That was why I was.
Yeah, that's funny. That's why he says that, because we don't know. So he's just like,
Wasn't that the C5 where the comedy guy asked George what planet Earth was from, and he gave some backwards name? I forget what that was. But it was some jest.
You mean the guy from The Daily Show?
Yeah, what was his name? John Stewart.
John Stewart, yeah.
That's it.
That was for Obi-Wan's planet.
Yeah.
He told him it was Stewjohn, right?
Yeah, that's right. I don't know if he said something about you. Maybe he did. I don't know.
He put John Stewart's name together. And yeah, I think they even...
No, that's what it says on Wikipedia when you look up Obi-Wan. It says he's from the planet Stewjohn.
Oh, boy. We'll have novels with that in it now. Anyway, before I forget... Is it safe to assume, Jen, that it's pretty much you and Nate that kind of do the comedy together, or is that more your side?
No, I think we both do it together. We both add our own style to it.
Huh.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We work on together, and I mean, there's definitely times when I just was like, oh, here's the idea or whatever. And
yeah. Like, sometimes one of us might have more ideas than the other, and contribute a little bit more to one show, but we're always doing it together, and we're always, I don't know, we're both very funny, and just, I don't know, we try to make each other laugh. And
the commercials are some of the funnest stuff to come up with, because, you know, you'll just be sitting on the couch watching TV and bust out laughing. You're like, I got it.
Yeah.
The next commercial is going to be, you know.
It reminds me a lot of the old Saturday Night Live spoof commercials. It's like you're doing a Star Wars version of that a lot of times. That's the first association I made when I was watching your Nadar Veb one in particular, and I was just like, oh, it's like Saturday Night Live when you think the show goes to a commercial, but the commercial is still part of the show.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like Robot Chicken. Yeah.
Oh, and hey, I thought of a question too, you guys kind of already answered it, but when you started talking about this, I was going to ask, would you say that it's easier to come up with a lot of these ideas and working with a partner and having like sort of a creative team rather than one person just thinking up everything all on their own and doing that and then the other person just shoot it? Would you say that that that's the case, that having a sort of like a team of creative people working to write it is definitely better?
Definitely, because then we can bounce ideas off of each other, and if I come up with only part of an idea, he can either make it better or finish it, or we can just bounce things off of each other, and it just makes it better. As if where one person is writing it, it would be a lot harder, I think, because you wouldn't have the help.
Well, when you got two people highly interested in doing it, two heads are better than one. We're going to come up with more ideas or take each other's ideas further just by, combining our efforts. So, but it's never a labored thing really with this, because, once again, like I keep saying, it's just something we do for fun.
Yeah.
So, if it's not fun, then our main reason for doing it is drying up. So,
yeah, if it's not fun, it's work, and then you're not getting paid for it. So,
that's right.
There's a lesson you can learn for every aspect of life, guys. That's just great. Yep. I'm going to have to hear how you two, found each other and how you found out you both like Star Wars and whatnot. I think that's a question further on, isn't it? Yeah, I'm going to have to find that out. That's got to be pretty cool. All right. Nate, can I talk about your webcomic for just a second?
Go right ahead.
What was your progression into that? I mean, did you start off making custom action figures and just decide, well, hey, I could make a Dio out of that? How did you get into that?
Yeah, I don't really know that I have a specific answer. Like a lot of things, like that I'm asked, what made me decide to create this? And I don't know. Sometimes I just feel like, okay, I want to create this. And I do all kinds of art, obviously. Usually I want to try everything. I see something, I'm like, okay. So I was looking at stuff it was before I knew even that the yards existed. I was looking at some stuff on Rebel Scum, and I decided to create that first little Padme that I made. And, just playing around. I just thought, just to make it, because I thought it was cool. And and I saw Hangar Bay stuff. I was looking at Hangar Bay's Dark Child comics, and I thought, well, you know, I could make a really good one of these too. And then all the customs that I've made were made for that. I found a way to include my first one, the Padme, and made a few others that I needed for the story or just wanted. Like in the case of the Black Ahsoka, I felt like doing that. Some people say, you know, why? It shouldn't be that way. I just say, you know, it just was in that case, and that's just how I made it. You know, it was just for fun, whatever. And so yeah, those that mostly are there. Then when I got to the Aperture's Eye one, really, I didn't really need to make customs. You know, I was drawing characters right from what was available, and so yeah, that's really like the bulk of all of my customizing is right there in that little. Oh, except for some astromechs. I made some astromechs and carded them and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Yeah, I could show you where the link is to those, but I made two, and they're still in there. They're on the cards. Mm-hmm. They're actually in the show all the time, in the background back there.
Well, I'm going to have to look a little closer then. That's pretty cool. So you re-card figures too. Oh, cool.
I did those too, because it's another, like I said, it's just, I came up with the idea I have to, like, do it at least once.
Hey, Nate, you just gave me an idea. One of your, and this is an idea, throw it out to you and for what it's worth, but, you know, one of the times you could do like a special edition Kessel Run review where you just kind of do a tour of your collection, because you guys obviously have a humongous collection and we always see it behind Jen during the show, and it would just be awesome to like take like a little virtual tour through your guys's collection, and that way we can kind of see a little bit more up close what's all back there, because I know I'm always looking, and I'm always, while I'm listening to Jen talk or something, I'm looking back there. I'm like, what's that one? What's that one over there in the corner? I can't quite see the picture. So
yeah, I try to change them around a little bit too, so you're not always getting the exact same thing in the background.
And I always try to stand in a little bit different of a place so you can see like a different figure than the time before, and get the views.
Everything we have is not there, so I'll like take out a box and switch out, you know, certain section or something here.
Well, I'm always looking for old Darth Sidious, because he's the one that I'm wanting the most out of all the Clone Wars figures. So whenever I see him, I go, there's one. They do exist.
I hear you, man. I can't find that manga guard with the cape. I got every one of those red cards, but I never can ever been able to find one of those
manga guards
with the cape. And it irritates me because it's the only one that we're missing. But
that is irritating, isn't it?
Well, you know, to the point for it is what it is. Yeah, sure. It'd be nice to complete the collection in that respect when you're that close, but you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, but whatever, you know, it's, we got a lot of them and a lot of cool ones.
Oh yeah, definitely. So there you go. So there's an idea for you.
I just keep thinking.
But yeah, we do get a lot of requests for actually a few people have asked us to do that kind of idea, the collection, like just look through the collection, a collection special, or I guess I
would say. That would be cool to do.
And
yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking you could do like, you could even do so that it's like, you know, it doesn't take up your whole show, but you could even do one of those tricks where they do the tour through and they speed it up. So it's like, you know, like you're, you know, going really fast through it and you still see everything, but you know, it would only take like, you know, 30 seconds or 45 seconds to do the tour if you, you know, you speed the video up or so. I don't know if you can do that or not. It's just an idea.
In the beginning, sure, absolutely, of the show?
Yeah, we could do that sort of thing, but...
Oh, you know, don't do that. That would drive me crazy. I would want to say, wait a minute, what was that?
I'm thinking you know, more go around and tell certain stories of certain things or parts of the collection.
Like more of a behind-the-scenes special.
That at least have one. Or like maybe we know this one we got, you know, through this circumstance, or somebody gave us this
one.
Yeah.
You know, we
maybe
never
it could
found
be our,
this or,
our not so awful but, holiday special.
Ah, oh my goodness, there you go.
No, I like that idea about telling stories about how you picked figures up. I like, that's one of my favorite things when I'm watching videos on YouTube and someone says, well, you know, I was at the store and this kid had it in his hand and he was trying to convince mom to buy it and she said no, so we put it down and I got it, you know, or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you guys, you know, you listen to them talk a little bit about their collecting, folks, and, you know, I count myself in this genre, too. My collecting has evolved to, it's more about the memories and the process more so than about, you know, whatever figure happens to be in the card. Would you guys say that pretty much describes your collecting?
I'm not sure. What do you mean?
I mean, like, it's like the like, you know, maybe you got that particular figure from a particular friend, or maybe it was like, you know, you searched for it for, you know, 6 or 7 months, right, and then you found it. It's all about those type of memories more so, per se, than, well, I just have to have it.
Sure. Like something that makes just a certain one a little bit more significant, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But
I have my special ones that, like, sit on my desk and, like, I can always view, like, all the time.
But we do pick some ups, and there's still plenty that are just, you know, we're filling in some of the collection. We're like, oh, that's new, and we don't have it. We haven't got anything in a while. We'll pick it up.
I was going to say, it must be nice to find something new. I sure haven't seen anything.
Well, we have. If we've seen anything we've seen new, you've seen on the show.
Yeah.
We got two figures that'll be on the next one, but that's it, you know?
Yeah.
There's not much to find out there.
Hey, and before we leave your Aperture's Eye and your photocomics, are we going to see any more, Nate? Are you going to do any more of those?
Wow, those are major undertakings.
Oh, I know. I know they are.
And with, you know, for now, the plan is to continue the Kessel Run review. And, you know, I don't have a lot of the necessary tools to do something like Aperture's Eye either. I've found other ways to get to them now. I know you can get subscriptions for Adobe software,
mm-hmm.
which is a really interesting and new development that would be pretty interesting to anybody that's into that kind of thing. If people don't know about that, you know, you can go and pick through different subscriptions, like packages that you want, and you could bet them on a monthly basis and get different sets of software that you need and you know, all the best stuff, really, for the most part, is from them. And, you know, I think you PC guys can run all that, too. Well, I know you can. I have a friend that uses it. But, I don't have any solid plans to make a next one right now, unfortunately.
Well, I'd love to see you do one and add some of your voices to it. That would be cool.
Yeah, it'd be great to take it to a voicing it level. And I had thoughts about maybe doing little pieces of them in the show, you know, in the Kessel Run review that, like, finally made a one big story, like you get a little bit each time kind of thing. But
oh yeah, like a soap opera. Yeah, that'd be cool.
But you know, it's just the workload is incredibly different than the Kessel than what we do with the show now.
Yeah, I can associate, not because I've done one, but, you know, talking from some of my friends, like Hangar Bay 94, that's created, you know, some himself. I think we, as just fans of them, just sometimes don't appreciate those enough, because it is just a phenomenal undertaking, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think, you know, there was times when even Jen might have been getting a little irritated with me because I was so disappeared into doing it. Like when I was doing parts like the 3D animated parts of it, where, you know, I mean, really, I put basically a month into doing those two little shots because I hadn't used the program that I did it in before. So I spent about
Dusk Till Dawn
15 days learning it and then like 15 days building all the shots and all the backgrounds, all the environments that were going to appear in it, you know. So. And yeah, I was pretty obsessed with it at the time and would just work on it for hours and, you know, skip meals, whatever. But yeah, so it's pretty big to do one of those things. It'd be nice to do with a team or something.
Can I imagine, like, you and Jules getting together to do something like that anyway? If you have not seen Nate Kessel Run Imports, Photocomic Aperture's Eye. I hope I pronounced that right. He has a website that you can find that on. And Nate, before I mess up your last name, could you give folks that website?
Yeah, sure. My main website is Ciurla.com. It's spelled Ciurla.com. And yeah, that's where I keep all my main portfolio work. If you look down the homepage there, you'll see a link back to stuff about the Kessel Run Review and a page for my photo comics. My other stuff though, the customs and things, they're a little more hidden. You got to go to Ciurla.com/Star Wars, and if you go to that page, which I haven't really worked on in a while, but just collected some stuff there, that's where Tamer, those astromechs that you said you hadn't seen, you can find those on that page. So
I will see them this evening. I have, you know, I spent half a day in Aperture's Eye the other day.
Oh, nice. Yeah?
Yeah, I was watching those V19 torrents move around. Like, how does he do that?
Well, yeah, that's the most incredibly detailed part of that. Those are actual 3D models that I built in the computer and then put textures on and animated and rendered out the, you know, rendered out the animations, and then took clips and re-edited it back into the little sequence that you end up seeing there. You know?
Sweet stuff, Nate. All right, Chad, I'm hogging it.
Well, hey, you know, I was looking at this next question, Sean, and I think you should take it because it's it's a little bit more.
It's the Hello Kitty question.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, Jen, I've got it. How did you come up with that awesome figure?
Well, I just kind of like really like Ahsoka, and shortly after I started doing the show, I decided that I wanted to try customizing myself because I was dealing with all these awesome customs, and I really like doing artsy things and being creative, and so I was like, I'm going to do my own custom, and I really like Hello Kitty, and I don't know, I'm not really a girly girl, and Star Wars isn't really a girl type of hobby or something that girls are really into, but I was like, I'm going to make a girly custom, and so I took Hello Kitty and I combined it with the Ahsoka, and I was like, it's a girly custom.
Yeah, I know, as soon as my daughter saw that, she goes, Daddy, can you make me one of those? I'm like, oh no. let me see if I can see if, you know, Jen will make one for me. And of course,
well, I was honored to make one for her.
Oh, she loves it. I mean, she watches me because she knows I like it too. So she watches me out of the corner of her eye when she's playing with it, so Daddy doesn't take it.
Like, Daddy, don't you be taking my custom Ahsoka.
Well, I'm telling you, I made that video where I reviewed a few customs the other day, and I thought she was going to brain me because she didn't want to let me have it, just a video for just a couple minutes.
She should know it's safe. It's not an AT-AT driver.
Yeah. Well, no. We might have plans for a pink AT-AT, Nate. Might watch out.
No, what I meant was, yeah, the Ahsoka's safe, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
She doesn't know how to drive no AT-AT.
Yeah. Well, who knows? So that recipe for that figure, Jen, was basically, was that a Captain Rex and a Clone Wars Shock T? Is that what that was?
Yep, it was just a simple head and hand swap of the Clone Wars Shock T and a Captain Rex body. And then I just sanded it and repainted it pink and gray. And then I finished it off with a Hello Kitty nail decal, which I just took a little bit of horse hoof lacquer. And I applied it on there, and then I just polished the whole thing off with some Tester's dull coat. So it was pretty easy.
Sound like a veteran customizer to me, Jen.
Well, thank you.
Awesome figure. Okay, Chad, I'll shut up now.
All right. Well, let's see here. I showed that, before I go on to the next question, I showed that Hello Kitty Ahsoka to my daughters, and they really liked it too. And they didn't ask me for one, but I had the feeling that was the next thing coming around. My younger daughter, Jen, did paint a pink and red clone trooper.
Nice.
Yeah, so I don't, she didn't say that, you know, she was inspired by you or whatever, but maybe, you know, she had that kind of stored in the back of her mind a little bit when she saw that, because I made sure to point it out to them, trying to get my daughters hooked into Star Wars a little bit more.
Very cool. I'm happy to inspire anyone or get any girls into Star Wars, because it's not just a boy's hobby or movie or any, or like collecting. It's for girls too. It's, if you go beyond the gender stigmata, it's a fun story that has really good morals and can be enjoyed by all.
And don't you think that the character of Ahsoka is helping to get girls more into Star Wars?
I think so, because she's what really got me back into Star Wars as well, because she's younger and she's spunky, she's outgoing, she kind of doesn't take it from the guy, she'll give it back, and I don't know, I think that's what girls like these days, because they're not, you know, they're not going to take it, and
right.
And it gives them someone to relate to.
Yes, and what I like about her is that she's not just the girl in the story. She's, you know, one of the main characters, and as I heard a few people put it, she's just, you know, one of the guys. She's not just the girl, you know, or like as girls have usually been in fantasy stories, sci-fi stories.
Exactly, she's not the princess. She's
right.
Tough it out with the guys, you know, cut up clankers, do all that good stuff, and
it's really? Take out Trandoshans.
You watch her on the show, and yeah, she's like super badass. She's like one of the toughest ones there is on the stuff she pulls off. But you know,
yeah,
she'd have to be like rated as like top Jedi. Compare some of her fights to some of the other things that you see going on, and you know.
Definitely. She single-handedly led all those disillusioned Padawans on that planet to retake it or escape from the Trandoshans. It has to be one of my all-time... That episode, Wookiee Hunt and Padawan Lost, is quickly becoming one of my favorite episodes from the entire series.
It's probably my two as well.
All right. On to the next question here. And I'm very happy to get this question as part of the reason why I let Sean take two in the row. And that's this one is for you, Nate, and it's about your trading cards that you started doing a few months back. And just to intro it before I let Nate answer, if you don't know, he started doing these custom trading cards for Imperial Shipyard's custom artists. And what they are is they're like trading cards that you can buy at the store, but instead they have the custom creations of featured artists that post their work on Imperial Shipyards. And then he creates a set. And then when you have the set, you flip it all over. It becomes a puzzle on the back. So, Nate, could you talk to us about the sets that you've created? And obviously, if anybody's listening would like to order them for their customs, what they need to do.
Okay, so you're basically asking me, how did I initially come up with the concept of doing them?
Yes, absolutely.
Back to Hangar Bay, you know, the Mega Man Hangar Bay. I was inspired partially, for sure, with that started out from the You've Been Hangar Bayed, if you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
And, I don't know. I guess I just initially wanted to do something kind of like that, you know. It's like, how can I do that without totally like ripping him off, you know?
Star Wars cards.
And I thought of the idea when I was looking at Dan of the Dead's Ahsoka. It's funny, we were just talking about Ahsoka, that really cool like post Order 66 Ahsoka that he made. I don't know. I looked at it and I just saw her like stepping out of the face of a trading card, and I was like, I'm gonna make this up as a trading card, and I don't even think that's the first one I released, but that's definitely where I first got the idea. I started making them, and I had already made cards for the Kessel Run review, which that was also just another accident that they became cards. I was just kind of making little ads for the show, but I had some of these old cards sitting here from 77. These are all different colors, like green and orange border and yellow border with the starburst. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I have some, yes.
I have thousands of them, yes.
You flip those over, and a lot of them have those puzzles on the back.
They sure do.
And I can't make any puzzles myself here in my home office to the scale of those. I can only make those little ones that you know, are made out of 6 cards. But, yeah, I was like, I guess, yeah, now that I think about the very first set I made as a complete joke, because I had enough to make a set from the Kessel Run ones, and Jen was in the shower or something, came out. And
I was sleeping.
Yeah, she's taking a nap, and I just was like, threw a set together and handed it to her when she woke up. I was like, here, check it out, Kessel Run trading cards. And she said, you should take a picture of those and put them on the yards. People think those are cool.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, the Imperial ones, then they came later. I already had the system for making the cards. But yeah, it was definitely when I saw those one that one custom, thought this would just be a cool system. You could just start putting in whatever ones, you know, new ones, old ones. I didn't really know what selection process I would start using to get them. It was all just kind of random. Some people asked me to, you know, put them in there. Some people just saw something I liked or whatever, you know.
All right. Yes. And let's talk about the different sets that you did a little bit. So the first one you did was the Kessel Run review. And I remember that. I think I actually saw that one pop up on Facebook before I saw it on the yards. And I just thought that was a cool idea. And then the first set you did was the first Imperial Shipyard set.
Right.
And what was then you started to do some sets that I think actually the first two sets were Imperial Shipyards, and then you started doing individual customizers, or were there three sets before that?
It was, well, when I first did the Shipyards, I did two sets. I did them together. So I did the first 12 cards all together as one group when I made them. And so, yeah, there was those first 12. And then individual customizers, those have come from separate other deals. The yards ones I was just making and putting out there, you know, really once again just for fun. I mean, I did make them available and sold them, but it wasn't really anything that was a money making endeavor by any means. And the Sprywalkers, he did some work for us, and you know, including like that gauntlet and things that she wears on the show in part of her bounty hunter outfit. So it was really a kind of a trade for his sets. And I ended up doing the three for him, a bounty hunters and a Tatooine Outlanders. And then finally his indie card sets. And the most recent individual customizer one that I've done is the Hemble cards. Mm-hmm. His first set of the Hembles of the Raiders. He did the Raiders line, and, his plan with that is to continue. He wants to do a whole bunch of, you know, themed from each movie and continue with that. And with that, he took me up on my offer to do, you know, the customs, just to sell like a straight up custom set. Which, since you asked, I'll say that it's, you know, I was selling them for $50, and that was to include one hard copy and a designed set of 6 with the puzzle on the back. You know, obviously, photography provided by, you know, the customizer. Mm-hmm. And I put in the backgrounds and designed the, you know, outer edges of the card and such. And
so if a customizer wants to order a set from you, that they take photos of their customs that they want, they send it to you in $50, and they get a custom set of cards with a, you know, logos that you created, backgrounds, borders, and then the background puzzle. The puzzle on the back.
Yep, that's how it's worked so far.
Fantastic. All right, Sean, I believe it's your turn.
All right, yeah, and I think before we leave the cards, you need to understand, folks, that, of course, I've ordered multiple sets from whenever I see new ones, but the card stock on those is so much better than the old Tops or Starburst cards. And, man, those things are adorable. I mean, my little daughter gets those in her hand and looks at those, and the card stock is so tough. And basically, I mean, I have not been able to damage one of them yet. And they come packaged, wrapped superbly in, you know, I mean, you can, if you decide to order some cards, folks, they're going to get to you safe, and I'll just leave that at that. Just top quality. Matter of fact, I want to say Hangar Bay 94 did a YouTube video where he showed some of them and showed some of the quality. And matter of fact, I think I might have to do one too. But just awesome stuff. I like them.
And unlike the photo comics at this time, I do eventually have plans to come back and make a couple more Imperial Shipyard sets at some point. But I've been pretty busy revamping a lot of my other stuff. In fact, the website that I mentioned earlier, you probably haven't even seen the, my new Churla.com one, because I completely redid it, you know, in the old.
I was just looking at that. I was looking at it, Nate. It looks really nice.
Yeah, I'm hoping that'll, you know, get me some more gainful employment. So since I've been on that trail, I haven't, you know, done anything like cards and things like that. But
you still are.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's still plans in the work. That's not set four of the Imperial Shipyards won't be the end of those, as far as I know right now. So.
All right, we got some more cards to look forward to, Sean.
I'm looking forward to that. All right. This next question, Jen, and this is a topic that you alluded to a little bit earlier. You know, how well do you feel you're received in you know, what you even described as pretty much a male-dominated hobby? I know we at ISY you're like a breath of fresh air. We love you. I mean, have you received that same acceptance from internet land in general?
Well, thank you, and I think I have. Everyone I've met has been, like, just really awesome and supportive. Of course, there's always a few grumpy pants in any situation, but I just usually try to ignore them, and, you know, they're not worth your time or energy because they just want to get a rise out of you, so why give it to them? There's a lot nicer people out there to talk to, and I'd say for the most part, everyone's just been really awesome and really nice and, like, accepting of me as being a female in a male-dominated hobby.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, you know, sent with this question, I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, you're like the first lady of Star Wars collecting now. And, I mean, you give me hope for my daughter being involved in this hobby and just women in general. And have you had any, like, women or girls in general just contact you, you know, about being a part of this hobby now because of you?
Well, that's so awesome. I love that title, by the way. Look out, Miss America. Here comes the first lady of Star Wars collecting. I don't know. I haven't really met anybody. As far as another girl being a collector, I've met some girls who are into Star Wars and maybe write or just like the movies, maybe doing cosplay. But as far as collectors or customizers that are girls, I haven't met any.
You're the pioneer.
So I'm looking to meet you, ladies. If you're a customizer and you like Star Wars, come talk to me. Come on.
Well, you know, Jen, before I let, you know, Chad have the next question, I will have to personally thank you for getting my daughter at least semi-hooked on Star Wars. And we play a little bit every day now. And that's not because of me. That's because of you. So appreciate that.
Well, thank you. You just made my day.
I'm pretty sure you're probably making other little girls' days too, but I'm surprised.
That's so awesome. That's all I want to do.
All right, Chad. Cheers.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, before I get to the next question, Jen and Nate, I have someone here with me who wants to say something to you. So I'm going to let Lucas talk for a second. He has something very special he wants to say to you.
Okay.
Thanks for putting my customs in your show.
Oh, you're welcome. They're totally awesome. And keep up the great work.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Well, I posted some today on my customs thread, too. So.
Cool. I will definitely check them out after the interview.
My gosh, 11 years old and he's already plugging his customs thread.
He learned that from his dad.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Very awesome.
All right. Okay, well, this next question, I'll go ahead and ask it. You might have already answered parts of it, but it might be good to I think there's parts in here that you haven't answered. And that is, we're talking about trials and tribulations on YouTube or any problems that you have had editing or loading videos. Have you run into any of those problems?
Well, there was the music problems, you know, mm-hmm. we had at first, and those were solely due to, well, I guess once you're, this is only based on our experience, I don't really know how the system always works, but once you reach a certain number of views or something, possibly YouTube will send you a email asking you if you want to participate in revenue sharing, which, mm-hmm. you know, then advertisement appears on your ad, blah, blah, blah. If you say yes, and there's any controversial thing in there, like copyrighted music, or, I mean, I really don't know exactly what their criteria is, what gets by them and what doesn't, but if it's something that won't, you'll instead get denied and your video will be removed. So we lost a couple of our first few episodes that way. But I rebuilt them and put new music in and uploaded them again, you know, so, I mean, everything's still there. It was just a learning process, and you know.
Yeah, I think what the thing is, Nate, is that they want to make sure that, you know, what if you're going to receive money for your videos, that all the content on there is created by you, and that you're not taking, you know, content from somewhere else and making money off of it that you don't have the rights to. I think that's the criteria. Sure.
I understand that.
But yeah.
I can't tell you why. I mean, I can't tell you why there's ads on my Aperture's iMovie then, because that's totally copyright music, and I've never been asked if I wanted an ad there, but it's there. And then, you know, on other ones, they ask us, and yeah, it seems like there's some, well, what's the word I'm looking for? Not controversy, contradiction in they select it to allow that too, which really doesn't matter to me, but, you know, the revenue generated by that ads is infinitesimal.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we of course said okay to it, because why not? You know, if they're going to give us any kind of money for something we're just doing for fun, we're like, sure, hey, you know, it's not going to ruin our show. If they didn't want to put commercials through the middle of our show or something, it'd be a different story, right? But
yeah.
So, you know, our workaround for that is now we use music that I played with a friend of mine a couple of years back. And so all of the music that you hear on the show now is me on bass and drums and my friend playing some guitar music that basically I wrote most of the songs. He helped out with a little bit here and there. And so it's our music, so we can claim that it's our music.
Well, there you go.
I know my daughter rocks out to it when you open every episode.
Nice.
Man, so you write your own music too, Nate?
I did at that time. You know, I haven't done it in a while, and then a little rusty. Huh. But yeah, sometimes the other day, you know, I got my some guitars hanging on the wall in the living room. And I just picked one up when I was testing out the DVDs, actually. And I was like, I wonder if I still, you know, started jamming along with the theme to the Kessel Run review. The song that is now the theme to the Kessel Run review. It used to be a... kind of funny. Those old songs that we just, you know, were screwing around and played for fun and recorded. You know, now they got new life as the music to the Kessel Run review.
Cool stuff.
All right, Sean. I think the other part of that question was about, you know, supplies or hardware or software that they needed to... You know,
yeah, they talked about that, didn't they?
They talked about that. Right, that's what I was going to say. So if you want to go ahead and take the last question, it's all yours. All right,
yeah. This is more about, you know, you two as a Star Wars couple, per se, than your great YouTube show, your great customizing. First off, we got to hear this. I mean, how did you two find each other, first off?
Well, it didn't have anything to do with Star Wars.
Yeah.
So.
Uh-huh, okay.
Hate to disappoint.
We were roommates and best friends for, what, 3 years?
I don't think it was quite that long.
2 years, maybe?
Yeah.
Between 2 and 3 years. And that's actually how I got my first Star Wars figure. Nate gave me a Power of the Force Chewbacca. And
uh-huh.
So, yeah. I had always liked Star Wars before that, but I had never collected figures myself. But Nate gave me a Power of the Force Chewbacca when we were roommates, and then 2-3 years later, we started dating, and
yeah,
the rest is history.
And then, as far as the collection part of it goes, it was when we went and watched the new Clone Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
Then we were in a Target or something, and I had, you know, my collecting bug had turned on and off several times throughout the years before that, and I, of course, had to go drift over and see, what, I wonder if they put out new figures from that movie. Lo and behold.
And then I'd come home from the store sometimes, and I'd be like, look what I got. And he'd be like, cool, Star Wars figures.
Oh, man, I wish my wife would do that.
I'm just sitting here thinking, oh, my goodness, I think I would fall flat on my face if my wife ever did that.
Hey, the first couple times, I was like, wow, too, you know.
Yeah, you knew you had to put a ring on that girl's hand, didn't you?
I hear you on it. I mean, I had a previous relationship years before that if I, you know, yeah. It was, you spent that, you, how many of those things are you going to buy?
Is that an X or a Star Wars character you're doing there?
Both.
It sounds like a Sith witch to me.
That's exactly right.
Oh my goodness.
He knows her.
I know. But no, I think, you know, everybody has different hobbies, you know, and some people, even men, don't like Star Wars, and, you know, some husbands may not like what their ladies do. You know, as far as hobbies, they may not want to do that. So, you know, you have a night a week where you do Star Wars, she goes and does what she wants, or maybe, you know, she brings you home a Star Wars figure that she knows you need, and you take her out to dinner. Why, you know, you treat each other well, do things that make each other happy, and that's what a good relationship is about, whether, you know, you both like Star Wars or not.
I agree with you, Jen, but I try to describe a Star Wars figure that I need, and my wife looks at me like I have lobsters crawling out of my ears, and I say, well, he's green, and he's got, you know, a Y-shaped head. I was asking for LS, and I said, and he's got kind of like starry-looking eyes and an orange, and she's looking at me like, what are you talking about? And then I finally had to text her a photo of what it looked like.
I was going to say, print out a little like checklist with photos.
Yeah. That's what you have to do. Because otherwise you're speaking another language.
You know what solved that problem for me, Chad?
What's that?
Give them the number.
Well, all the numbers are the same.
Well, I mean like the...
Oh, you mean like the CW49.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, CIs
and all that. Yeah.
That's a good idea. I'll have to try that one out.
Hey, but I've received many of those looks. I thought it was like more like you know blue crabs crawling out of my ears, not lobsters. But I guess I can associate. So, okay, I didn't write this down, guys. But are we gonna have a Star Wars wedding one day?
I'm hoping to.
It does seem to be our general plan at this point.
It'll be a Chewbacca on the wedding cake.
Talking about celebration, and fortunately right now it's long enough away that we can't really say for sure.
Oh, that's a great answer, sweetie. Long enough away that we don't have to give a definite answer.
Okay. It kind of sounded kind of wrong.
Sorry, Nate. I might have set you up for that.
Well, we just got...
Don't make me stick my Wookiees on you.
Uh-oh. So, you know, Jen, what advice would you give? I mean, you just gave a good bit of advice, but what advice would you give women that have Star Wars men in their life that do look at us like we have 20 heads when we talk about a new action figure?
Well, when... Ladies, nothing says love to a man like a new Star Wars figure or a book that just came out. So if your man likes Star Wars, you know, try to be understanding about it. And I'm sure when you talk about your teacups or Fabergé eggs or whatever you ladies collect, I don't know. I'm not one of those girly girls that collects those really thing, so I don't know what ladies collect these days. I'm sorry. But, you know, I'm sure when ladies talk about those things to their men, they probably look at you like you have crabs crawling out of your ears.
Yeah.
If there was one that you really wanted, your husband would probably go out of his way to try and make you happy and get that for you. So just try and be understanding with each other. It's, you know, it's something that's cool. And
what is that?
It's not that it's a big deal. I think I just dug myself in deep with the ladies there.
I think I'm going to record that and play it over and over again whenever I get that look.
I was thinking the same thing.
Click.
Wow. Mm.
Wow.
Great stuff, Jen. Thank you.
You're welcome. You can't see it, but my face is really red right now.
Well, hey, Chad, at least you can see I'm consistent.
Yeah. All right, well. Yeah,
as much as we wish there was a formula that we could just, you know, pass around, because, you know, obviously if this was something that could be bottled and sold, it'd probably be right there in the aisle next to the Star Wars toys.
Well, yeah. I think it's awesome that you guys support each other that way. I think it's really nice.
Thank you. I think every couple should support each other the same way, whether they're into the same hobbies or not, because it's just all what a good.
But it just makes it a lot easier when you are. So
yeah,
and
I think sometimes Chad and I think we might do our wives a little bit of disservice, because mine is very very supporting and she tolerates you know me and this hobby. So
I was trying to get in there and say exactly what you just said, Sean, and while my and maybe, you know, can't describe an action figure character that I want her to pick up, my wife definitely understands that I, you know, that I'm interested in it, and it matters to me, and so that even if it doesn't matter to her, then, you know, she's got to make some room for it. So that's definitely right. True.
You said you had to text her a picture, but she was out there getting it for you, huh?
She tried. She couldn't find it because it wasn't there. But also, you know, I wouldn't be able to do this show, you know, at all if she wasn't supportive, because, you know, I got four kids and she's got to, you know, watch them and everything the whole time that I'm in here. So, you know, she does support me, and I know Sean's wife does the same for him. So,
yep, I have to even travel to find high speed, and she lets me do that too. So, yep, we've got to thank our wives, don't we, Chad?
Definitely.
You need a little commercial at the end of the show that says brought to you in part by support by the wives of Tamer and
There you go.
Yeah. We can add that onto your outro sometime, Sean.
We need to get Nate and Jen to do us some voice stuff for the end of our show, Chad.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, we got to get you guys could do some voices for us, and maybe I could lend you my Yoda.
Yeah, we can always use a good Yoda. You never know when he's going to turn up.
Sounds like fun.
My son tells me that I do not half bad Yoda.
Let's hear it.
What we were trying to do, I don't know. That's we couldn't even get that.
I don't know.
That's good. Yeah, that's awesome.
No, I don't.
That's Lucas.
That was still good.
That was a young Yoda.
Yeah, this is the young Yoda. Exactly right. All right. Well, if you ever need that, let me know. But on that note, I think that's pretty much everything, guys. So it's about time to get out of here.
Cool.
All right. Thanks for having us on.
I had so much fun.
Oh, yes. And we wanted to definitely thank you very much for coming on. We had a great time as well. Isn't that right, Sean?
Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys. Don't forget about watching them on the Kessel Run Review on YouTube.
Yep, yeah, definitely.
Tomorrow night's show, we should, on Custom Cargo, we'll be reviewing the entries to the Yards Custom Create a Wookiee Lover 1138 contest.
Right, and thanks to everybody that turned out for that contest, because that was really cool. And wow, you know, don't even really, what can we say about that? There's just a bunch of awesome work got turned out, and hardly could have expected it.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a really cool thing.
Definitely.
And Jen, if they want to find you on Facebook, how can they do that?
You can find me on Facebook, Forcebook, or The Yards under WookieLover1138. Or on YouTube, I'm under the Kessel, WookieLover1138 of the Kessel Run Review.
And that's, WookieLover.
Yeah, WookieLover1138, something like that.
All right, and if you want to find Nate of the Kessel Run Review, where can we find you?
I don't know. I'm pretty elusive.
Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to the man behind the camera.
She's the PR person. You contact Jen. You can give me a message at the Yards or, my website's, my email's connected to my website, so it's nate@churla.com.
And you're on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I do have one of those Facebook pages, too, but I don't use it.
All right. Very cool. Very cool. So now you know where to go if you want to get yourself some custom action figure cards. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. If you want to contact myself, Lucas Clones, also known as Chad, you can send me an email at chad.cafnpodcast@yahoo.com, or you can go to my Facebook page, which is Lucas Clones, or you can go to the Custom Action Figure News Facebook page. And don't forget to hit the like button when you go there if you haven't done that already. I think we're up to 65 likes now, Sean. Does that sound about right to you?
Yep, that sounds about right. And don't forget, every 100 we get, I send $25 to the charity auction for Mike Martinez.
Yep, so definitely every time that you click a like, you're helping out a family that definitely needs it. So you're doing something good by just clicking a button. All right, and if you want to find Tamer, also known as Sean, where can you find him?
Find me on the Yards, tamer@imperialshipyards.net.
There you go. And if you want to find more of Custom Action Figure News, there's a couple of ways to do it. And one of those is to go on iTunes and go to the podcast and search for Custom Action Figure News. And there you can subscribe for free and download all of our previous podcasts. You can also go to my Blogspot page. It's Lucas Clones Custom Action Figures. I think that's what it's called. I always forget what I wrote on that thing. And there's
LucasClones.blogspot.com.
There it is. That's it. Mm-hmm. And also, you can go to imperialshipyards.com and you can click on the Custom Action Figure News button, and that'll also give you all of our previous podcasts. So I think that's going to do it. So, guys, once again, thanks for coming on. And until the next time, may the Force be with you.
Thanks. Take care. May the Force be with you.
You have just listened to Custom Action Figure News, a podcast by Lucas Clones and Tamer. Previous casts can be found by hitting the Custom Action Figure News button on the main page of ImperialShipyards.net or by visiting LucasClonesCustoms.blogspot.com. Let us know what you think or send in your burning question via email to chad.cafnpodcast@yahoo.com or tamer@imperialshipyards.net. You could hear your email on the next cast. Custom Action Figure News is neither affiliated with, sponsored, nor endorsed by Lucasfilm or Star Wars, which are trademarks of their respective companies. Stay tuned for the next cast of Custom Action Figure News, dedicated to spreading the good news of customizing to the fans, by the fans, and for the fans.
Hold easy.